Okay, so you're listening to South Kootenai Radio here, and might as well check out Tim in the mornings at 7:30. It'll be a good time.
Masses, just like witches at black masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. And hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. Darkness world stops turning, ashes where the body's burning, no more
war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Black Sabbath there. Had to throw one in. They're playing at the Gorge Amphitheater tomorrow in George Washington. I would have liked to have gone down to check that out, because according to Geezer Butler, it's probably going to be their last time that they play together. No kidding. Oh, well. What else did we have there? Oh, we had The Who with My Wife, and that particular tune taken from the... Who's next album? 1971, I think that one came out. Anyways, I haven't got my notes in front of me. I'm just guessing, but what can you do? Anyways, quarter to the hour. Well, actually, no, it's 10 to the hour now. Played a bit of an extended Sabbath tune there. So we're going to get on with this day in Canadian history, August the 23rd. And the very first story is from 1882 out of Regina, Saskatchewan. That's when Lieutenant Governor Edgar Dewdney replaces Battleford with Regina as the seat of government for the Northwest Territories. Formerly Wascana Cree for pile of bones, referring to the buffalo bones that formerly littered the area and were now a cash crop. Renamed Regina after Queen Victoria by Governor General the Marquis of Lorne. Pile of bones. I think they should have. That's what they should have called it. Yeah. And next story from 1850 out of Lancaster Sound, Northwest Territories, and that's when the HMS Assistance and HMS Intrepid first find trace of the lost Franklin expedition in Lancaster Sound at Cape Riley in Beachy Island. And also on this day in 1541, out of Cap Rouge, Quebec, Jacques Cartier arrives at the Iroquois village of Stratacona on his third trip to Canada, starts to build Charlesbourg Royal at the western tip of Cape Diamond. It's the first French fort in Canada and the first French settlement in America. A couple of birthdays here today. William Southam, newspaper publisher, born on this day in 1843 in Montreal, Quebec, died in Hamilton, Ontario, February 27th, 1932. Southam began his newspaper career on the London Free Press. In 1877, he and a partner bought the ailing Hamilton Spectator and took it to profitability when embarked on the acquisition program, buying the Ottawa Citizen, Calgary Herald, Edmonton Journal, Windsor Star, and the Montreal Gazette. His six sons continued the expansion, moving into broadcasting and business magazines. Today, the chain is part of the Hollinger Incorporated Publications. Let's see. What else do we have? 1989 out of Montreal, Rick Dempsey hits a leadoff home run in the 22nd inning, giving the Los Angeles Dodgers a 1-0 victory over the Expos. Second longest shutout in Major League Baseball history. Of course, the postal workers went on strike again in 1988. And in 1980, out of Toronto, the Talking Heads make their live debut as a 9-piece band up to now a quartet. At the Heatwave Festival, billed as the New Wave Woodstock. Other acts included the Pretenders and Elvis Costello. Yeah. Maybe what I'll do is I'll play some Talking Heads right now. Kind of a funky little number called the Swamp.
Young lovers, the whole thing is over. tricks. Let's go. Washing his hands, rattle and bolt, dream testing out a medical chart on the wall. Soft violins, hands touch your throat. Everyone wants to explode. When your hands get dirty, nobody knows you're at all. Don't have a window to slip out of. Lights on, nobody home. See you later. Better, better. No time to rest. Pick up, pick up. Risky business. All that love. Never cover that mess. Let's go.
Alright, there you go, the Talking Heads there with Swamp. Alright, we only have a minute here. Not enough time to play a song. Not enough time to just have useless babble. So I'm going to bring you the latest police report. Yeah. After I sneeze. Alright, I'm back. All right, where are we at here? The paper just came out yesterday, so of course we have a couple of choice little morsels here in the police report, as written by Lauren Eckersley, our advanced staff editorial guy, main publisher, the head cheese. Anyways, a female customer got into a dispute with a car wash employee on 20th Avenue because she only got 5 minutes of vacuuming for $2. It's a good reason to phone the cops. Yeah. An Erickson Road resident complained that a neighbor's lawnmower was blowing weed seeds into his yard and that when he flipped his middle finger to show her his disapproval, she returned the favor. All right. Several businesses and government buildings were hit with graffiti, apparently the work of a fruit picker disgruntled by his or her treatment by a local grower. Yeah. Probably wasn't doing a very good job, but what can you do? And two vehicles were reported to be doing donuts on Crawford Bay Road. The call was made 90 minutes after the incident because the complainant was eating dinner at the time. So, definitely couldn't be phoning the police on that. And then a Dogwood Street resident used bear spray on a neighbor's dog, which came into her yard and attacked her own small dog. Oh, I tell ya. The news in Creston is just out of this world. I'll be writing a letter to the editor on something I read in there, but first we've got a little news update here. 4 minutes and 30 seconds worth to start off the second half hour. Don't worry, I'll be right back with some more great tunes.
It is August 23rd, and this is CBC News. I'm Joe Cummings. A new round of protests are being organized today in Egypt. Supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood are calling today the Friday of Martyrs. In response, there is a significant military presence in most Egyptian cities, including, of course, the capital, Cairo. Now to Syria, where the government says a UN inspection team will not be allowed to visit the site of this week's alleged chemical weapons attack outside Damascus. But this morning there's a new call from an unexpected source for the inspectors to be allowed to open a new investigation. CBC's Kurt Petrovich reports.
Russia, the Syrian government's biggest ally and arms supplier, alleges Wednesday's attack was staged by rebels using a single homemade rocket. Moscow blocked the UN Security Council from issuing anything other than a limp statement calling for clarity about what happened. And although chemical weapons experts are in Syria, staying just a few minutes' drive from the Damascus suburbs that were hit, the Syrian government has withheld permission for the team to investigate. This morning, a statement from the Russian Foreign Ministry urged Syria to cooperate with UN experts. It also called on rebel forces to allow safe passage for the team. Russia's endorsement appears to have flowed from a phone call yesterday between Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. Syria has not yet responded to the demand. Kurt Petrovich, CBC News, London.
Meanwhile, the UN is reporting that the number of children forced to flee the fighting in Syria has now reached 1 million. And it's believed that most of the children are under the age of 11. Since the fighting broke out in Syria 2.5 years ago, there has been a steady flow of refugees leaving the country for refugee camps set up in Lebanon, Jordan, Turkey, and Egypt. Lebanese officials are saying more than 25 people have been killed and at least 200 have been wounded in two separate explosions today at mosques in the northern Lebanese city of Tripoli. The attacks come amid rising tension in Lebanon as a result of the Syrian civil war. The country is divided between those who support the regime of Bashar al-Assad and those who oppose it. Prime Minister Harper has agreed to begin discussing the idea of granting the Nunavut government province-like powers. It's an undertaking known as devolution, and in Nunavut, many are saying it's long overdue. The CBC's James Cudmore reports.
Eva Arriak says every year for 5 years during the Prime Minister's summer northern tours, she's buttonholed Stephen Harper on devolution.
I find that things are moving very, very slowly.
Talks to grant Nunavut province-like powers over natural resources in the territory were approved by the federal government in 2008. But according to Arriak, Stephen Harper's cabinet has yet to approve a final mandate for the talks. Arriak spoke on her way into a meeting yesterday between Canada's Inuit leaders and the Prime Minister. Harper's focus was economic development and jobs, something that Inuit leaders were keen to talk about. The Prime Minister has agreed to meet with Inuit leaders again within a year. And in a move praised by Arriak, Harper agreed in principle with devolution for Nunavut and promised to kickstart negotiations following a territorial election later this year. James Cudmore, CBC News, Rankin Inlet, Nunavut.
Still with the Prime Minister, he has announced a $100 million program to map out the Canadian Arctic's mineral deposits. It's a 7-year project. Harper wraps up his 6-day tour of the far north later today with a stop in northern Quebec. Scientists say global warming is to blame for tropical fish turning up in New Brunswick's Bay of Fundy. Earlier this week, a large sunfish known as a mola mola washed up on the province's south coast. And there have been other sightings of mola molas. Last summer, the water temperature in the Bay of Fundy peaked at 13 degrees. That's at least 2 degrees above normal. And that is the CBC News. We broadcast live and podcast at cbcnews.ca. I'm Joe Cummings.
Oh, Bay of Fundy, getting warm. Yeah. Remember when I was a kid going for a swim in the Bay of Fundy? Yeah, she was a little cool. Yeah. Anyways, what do we got? 8:05, and speaking of cool, it's only a balmy 14 degrees here in the valley right now. Going up to 22. Oh, and the fruit flies are out. Yeah, actually the headline on the paper this week is the Creston Valley's cherry harvest a success. It's nice to be driving around the valley and see all the cherries removed from the trees. Yeah. Should be pretty good down at the farmer's market here today. Or tomorrow, I should say. Yeah. Anyways, we have Colin James playing at the Pacific National Exhibition in Vancouver tomorrow. And I thought I would play one of his songs here. It's called Wavelength. It's from the Roof and Rooftops and Satellites album. This one came out in 2009.
Stop raining.
Okay, well, what's going on with Brad trying to sneak in there? Let's pull back the reins on that puppy. That's right, it's time for this day in rock and roll history. Of course, leading up to that was Grace Potter and the Nocturnals there with Hot Summer Night.
When we're laying on the beach, my friends and I listen to South Kootenai Radio.
When I'm at the summer cottage, I listen to South Kootenai Radio.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Oasis. Be There Now. Yeah, one of the fastest selling records in Britain in 1997. And that one going to the top of the charts. Before that, we had The Grateful Dead from 1987, Touch of Grey. That particular single driving their album In the Dark up to the top of the charts as well. And what we have before that, the Rolling Stones' Honky Tonk Woman, Beatles' She Loves You, and The Who starting things off with Barbara Ann. Keith Moon on the vocals there. Doing the high parts. Yeah, pretty funny to watch Keith try to sing that. I think it cracks him up. Anyways, what do we got here? Let's have a quick look at the temperatures across the country here right now. Currently in the Creston Valley, we are sitting at 15 degrees. We're on our way to 22. I'm going to sneeze. Maybe I can wait. Anyways, we're expecting a few showers today. We had a couple around 6 this morning. Lasted about 2 minutes. Didn't even totally get the roads wet. But they're talking about even a thunderstorm this afternoon. I guess we'll see. Now, over on the coast at Vancouver, they're currently sitting at 17 degrees and cloudy. Calgary is 14 degrees, mainly sunny. Winnipeg, a mix of sun and cloud, 20. Toronto, sunny, 21. Halifax, they've got thunder showers, 19 degrees. And St. John's, Newfoundland, 24 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. All right, saw a new band last night on Later with Jules Holland called the LCD Sound System. And this is the song that they sang called North American Scum, right here on South Kootenai Radio. Not sure what's taking things here. I might have to. Here we go.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, where to begin? We are North Americans, and for those of you who still think we're from England, we're not. No. We bid our planes and our trains till we think we might die. Far from North America, where the buildings are old and you might have lots of mimes. I hate the feeling when you're looking at me that way. Cause we're North Americans, but if we act all shy, it'll make it okay. It makes it go away. I don't know, oh, where to begin when we're North American, but in the end make the same mistakes all over again. Come on, North America.
So
LCD sound system there with North American Scum. Well, I'm not quite sure about that one. It sounded much better live. Anyways, it is 8:44. It is time for our album highlight today, which of course is brought to you by Bedazzled, located at 1217 Canyon Street in downtown Creston. And of course, they do have the best looking building in all of downtown. And we've got a special station ID specifically aimed at Bedazzled. I'm going to let you have a listen here before we continue.
I shop at Bedazzled for two reasons: great merchandise and South Kootenai radios playing throughout the store.
That's right. And we'd like to thank Amber for doing such a fine job on that station ID promoting Bedazzled. Yeah. All right. As mentioned, it's Keith Moon's birthday today. And of course, I thought I had to do some of the Who. You know, just as a bit of a celebration there for the legendary mad-capped, over-the-top drummer. Yeah, Mr. Keith Moon was probably at the top of his game, as was the rest of the band on this album. But much of Who's Next derives from a Lifehouse, an ambitious science fiction rock opera that Pete Townshend abandoned after suffering a nervous breakdown, caused in part from working on the sequel to Tommy. And there's no discernible theme behind these songs, yet this album is stronger than Tommy, and is one of the finest records that the Who ever cut. Townshend developed an infatuation with synthesizers during the recording, and they're all over the place and during this album, adding texture where needed and amplifying the force, which is already at a fever pitch. And apart from live at Leeds, the Who have never sounded as loud and unhinged as they do here. Yet that's balanced by ballads, both Lovely, the song is over, and Scathing, Behind Blue Eyes. Yeah, that's the key to Who's Next: their anger and sorrow, humor, regret, passion, all wrapped up into a blistering package where the rage is affecting as the heartbreak. All right, of course, we have to start off with track number one. Probably one of their most famous songs, I would say. One of my favorites, anyway. Bob O'Reilly, right here on South Kootenai Radio. Thank you.
We'll be right back. touch, man, miss me. We'll be right back.
Won't Get Fooled Again, finishing things off on this day in our album highlight brought to you by Bedazzled. And of course, that particular song really features some Keith Moon on the drums. And what about that scream near the end by Roger Daltrey? One of the best rock and roll screams of all times. Yes, and actually it's during that song they always used to do the big laser light show that I remember when I went to see them in 1975. Yeah, just a bit of a gloat there for a Friday. And let's see, before that we had Going Mobile, and of course we started things off with Baba O'Reilly, whose next album highlight today, in honor of Keith Moon's birthday today. All right, that pretty much brings this edition of Tim of the Morning to a close. Thanks a lot, everyone, for tuning in. We will be back again Monday morning live here in the studio at 7:30 Pacific time, but the SKR runs 24/7, and as a matter of fact, we have one of our regularly produced local shows that come on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. called Mountain Jam. You might want to check it out. There's podcasts of it on the website, theskr.com, and you can also find the schedule there as well. And you'll notice on the Hot Chicken and LP show at noon today, we'll be featuring the full album, A Patch of Blue Sky by Kevin Walsh. Yeah. So have a great weekend, everybody, and we're going to take a short 4-minute, 30-second break, have a news update, and we'll be back with some more great regular programming right here on South Kootenai Radio.
It is August 23rd.